Galatians is a gospel of grace. What was happening is Paul had gone down to an area and there was revival, a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of people got saved. They gave their life to Christ and now they had a desire for him. But the Judaizers, those were people who were trying to keep the Jewish traditions alive. And they decided that you couldn't be saved unless you had Christ and these traditions, especially circumcision. And so they were coming down and they were teaching heresy. They were false teachers, teaching legalism, teaching them that you need more than Christ to be able to, be saved. And so Paul writes this book of Galatians against that form of self-righteousness and says that your only righteousness that you have is Christ's righteousness. Amen? And so self-righteousness is when you're looking for your righteousness in who? Yourself. Some way, some shape, or form. And Christ's righteousness is when you realize that all your righteousness comes from him. So that's what this gospel is. It's a gospel of grace. Grace is a gift that God gives us if you're saved. It's a gift that allows you to not look at the word of God as foolishness, but to look at it as your salvation, to be able to believe. Remember that, Barb? I pick on you every time you're here almost, but we were out on a sandbar, what, 5-6 years ago? And you're out there battleboarding, and you're like, man, it's like God is pursuing me. And I said, well, then let him catch you. And when he caught you, he gave you grace. He gave you the ability to truly, do you believe what his word says? You don't have to say that just because everybody's looking now. But do you really believe what his word says? Isn't that great? You can look at his word and say, wow, that makes sense. Yes, I believe that. Prior to grace coming into our life, it's foolishness. That's what the 1 Corinthians says. It's foolishness to those that don't believe. So the world thinks it's foolish. Like, how can you worship a dead Jewish carpenter? How can you worship a God you can't see? Man, you know what? You've just been misled. You need a crutch. You need the... No, but when God gives you grace, it's a gift from him for you to be able to believe that what God says is true, what his word, and that he's speaking through his word. So it's a gospel of grace. And when you have that grace, he gives you faith. And in that faith, there's freedom. Isn't there freedom when you're like, what do I do? And you just look what the word of God says and you do it, right? Isn't that freedom? It's not like you don't have a bunch of choices to make. My choice is to follow God. There's freedom in that faith that he gives us through grace. And the purpose of it all is to bring glory to who? It's to bring glory to God. And so that's what we've been seeing. And it's interesting. We went through chapter 5 and saw all about, man, all about like the fruit of the Spirit, all the stuff everybody wants to crochet on pillows and put on wall hangers and all this stuff about, oh, love, peace, joy, patience. Oh, I need all of this stuff. But the point is if you're a fruit tree, you're not growing fruit for yourself. Who are you growing fruit for? Others, especially the ones that cut you, the ones that hurt you, the ones that need Christ. You heard me say earlier about Tony, man, that's what blew him away. Not just the miracles of watching God in his providence set things up, but Tony just saying, why would these people love me? Why would these people do these things for me? And oh, I found out it wasn't Tiny that brought him the chair. It was Skylar, actually, that brought him the chair. So Tiny didn't do anything and all of that. But no, I'm just messing with you. Tiny, look at that smile, man. He had to see your smile of love, bro. All right? But the point is that, man, it all brings glory to God in this. And so when we get saved, our life is set. Let me ask you a question. Hey, Jenna, how much did God pay for you? He paid Christ, the value of Christ. He paid that for you. And so how much is a Mickey Mantle card worth right now? Anybody know how much Mickey Mantle card's worth right now? It's worth whatever somebody wants to pay for it, right? It's worth what? That's how our value's determined. Whatever somebody's willing to pay for something, that's the value. So God paid what for you? Oh, paid Christ? You're worth that much? How about you, Jerry? How much are you worth? What did God pay for you? Did he get a discount on you? No. He paid the same amount. He paid the same amount for each one of us. So we are all worth the same to God. Our value is Christ. Whatever Christ is worth, that's the value that we have. That's the value that God Almighty has for us. That's where we get our identity. That's where we get our price tag. That is Christ's righteousness. Christ gave us his righteousness, and we're all worth that. But yet in the flesh, what we keep wanting to do is compare ourselves to other people. Either we're lower than people and we're wishing we're like them. Well, where's your self-right worth coming from? Again, from who you think you are. Or, wait, I'm bigger and better than this person. It's like Tiny beating up an eighth grader on the basketball court, right? Like, oh, I'm better than him, you know. You either have self-righteousness or you have Christ righteousness. God hates self-righteousness. Our self-esteem, our righteousness does not come from what we can produce, what we can do, what we can't produce, and what we can't do. It comes from who, y'all? Christ. Christ was perfect. He gave that. We are all worth the same, regardless of what the world says. And that's the story of Galatians. They wanted to add circumcision. They wanted to add all these, how well you kept the law. In almost every single New Testament book, that is what the author is fighting against, is self-righteousness. So yeah, we even learned at the end of chapter 5 that those who are like, oh, woe is me, I'm so low, I can't do anything, everybody's better than me, who think they're humble and they're being righteous, that's self-righteousness. By you being all like, oh, I'm nothing, dude, what an insult to God who paid everything for you. That's even almost worse of an insult than the cocky person saying, oh, I'm better than that eighth grader on the basketball court. I'm just saying, it's like any time we're trying to find our righteousness in ourselves, it's what kind of righteousness? How many of y'all like self-righteous people? How many of y'all want to be self-righteous? Then stop it. Read scripture and you will see that you are Christ righteous in this. So in the end, after we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, man, and all that he has for us through grace, if we can just have that Christ righteousness and find our righteousness in that, he now says in chapter 6, he says, now, since you're set, how many of y'all are set for eternity? Any of y'all set for eternity? Yeah, so you got nothing to worry about. Dude, what happens if a nuclear bomb blows up and we all die? Dude, who here is going to be upset? Anybody here? If you're like, well, I'm thinking about, you know, I just, no. If you are going to be upset, you might just need to get saved. Because if you know what you have in Christ, you're going to be with him in perfection. And not only are you going to be in perfection, but guess what? You're going to be perfect. Look at the person next to you right now and imagine what they are going to be like perfect. How many of y'all think, boy, God's got some work to do, man? That's how powerful grace is. That's how powerful grace is. We're going to be perfect in a perfect place. For how long? Forever. We have nothing to worry about, do we? It's all under God's control. There is absolutely nothing that goes on in this universe that is out of his control. Amen? Yeah. It's not up to that person, this group, that group. It's not God. Everything is falling right into God's plan, and it always has been. And if you're a believer, your final predestination is that you are going to be just like Christ. So here's where we're at. Last week, he talked about, and he said, hey, if a brother or sister has messed up, you know what? They sinned. They fell into sin. You are called to restore them. Can't say, I ain't got time for that. I'm too busy for that. No, you, God's plan is that you are used by God, if you're spiritual, to restore them. And that word restore was talking about a bone being out of joint. It's a hard process. It's a painful process. Sometimes it's a lengthy process. But you are called by God, if he's brought them into your life, to be part of the restoration process. That because you don't have anything to worry about. Terry, right now, man. Dude, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for you. I know, and you're like, this is my excited face that's not worried. But, dude, you got anything to worry about? No. Only when you're peeking around the corner to check on that thing you gave to God, right? Who's got your future under control? He does. You know that. That's a great Bible answer. But now it's going to be reality answer. Yes, he's got it under control. There's nothing that's happening that is out of his control and that he cannot make beauty out of. His purpose in allowing things in our life as believers is to make us more like Christ and for him to get the glory. So let's take a look at where we're at now. He said, your job is to help people, help somebody out of sin, no matter how dirty, how messy it takes and it gets being in somebody's life.
Isn't that what we don't want to do? Dude, that's going to be messy. You know what? I've already helped. I've already done. It's too messy. Get it out of here. You don't get to call the shots. God's the one who calls the shots. And he says, if I put this mess in your life, I want you to be a part of cleaning it up. And you can't do it, but you having me fill you with my spirit and having the fruit of the spirit, the love, the peace, the joy, the patience, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control, the meekness, you having those things, you're going to get to watch God do things to you that you couldn't see any other way. How many of y'all ever been part of something so supernatural that only God could get blamed? Anybody been part of that? Yeah, wasn't it the most horrible experience in your life, Kathy? So I'm like, oh, don't ever do that again. No. Or was it the most awesome? You're waiting for the next one. The next one. And the next one. That's our Christian life. That's the freedom that we have through faith. And he's kind of going to tell us some things that get in the way of this because he's going to give us a little more definition to our job. God brings someone in our life that we see as kind of stepped aside from Christ. We're supposed to help restore them. But then he goes on and he tells us there's other people we're supposed to help. So let's look at verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, Terry. How long can four verses take? Let's time it right now. It's 10:19, all right? So we'll see. Let's see. I got to go back. Okay. God gives, my little points were so long that JD has to put them on two screens, all right? So get this. They're important. You can read it on Facebook. I'll send it to you. I'll text it to you, but this is crucial, man. When you get this concept, this is going to be so crucial. God gives people giant duffel bags full of problems that they can't carry. Right here, giant duffel bags full of problems they can't carry. Man, how many of you can testify to the fact that God, at some point, at some time, gives you a giant duffel bag full of issues that seem overwhelming to carry? Anybody? Raise your hand. No? Yep. Giant duffel bag. And you carry it for a little bit, but after a while, man, dude, it's heavy. Sometimes you can't even pick it up. So sometimes you're just looking at it like, what the world is going on? Man, what do you want me to do with this, God, in your whole life? Man, how many of you have had issues that were just so big, so monumental, they took over your life, right? Every one of us, if you haven't had, how many of y'all never had that? Come on, man, God wants to see your hand so he can give you one. I'm just trying, because you've had them. You know what it is. How many of y'all know people? Not just you, but how many of you know people? Neighbors, people at work, people out in the world that have problems like this so big. So big. All you got to do is take street photos of California, right? I mean, you know, L.A., you know, people on the street. I'm not picking on L.A. Oh, you're going back there, bro. So this message, take it to heart. God brings you back there. He's wanting you to help people with this. All right? But you know what I'm talking about, man. People camped out on the other side of subdivision. It's everywhere. But the problem, the situation is this, that there are people that have situations in their life, problems that are so big that they cannot carry. Now, let's get this right. How many of y'all believe God is sovereign? How many of y'all believe God is in control? How many of you believe nothing goes on in this world that is out of God's control? That God's got total control of it all. So where did those problems come from? Who gave those people those problems? Ultimately, who gave them? Where did they come from? Absolutely. Yeah, and you're like, well, wait a minute, God doesn't do evil. No. God allows everything in this world, but his purpose in all of it is for him to ultimately get glory, and the way he gets glory is for people to respond the way they're supposed to respond. They have a choice. Man, how many of y'all got saved because your problems were too big for you? You're like, I give up. Isn't that where Tony was? He went out on the back porch and said, God, it's yours. I made a mess of this. It's yours here. And God took his whole entire mess. He took mine. That was my prayer of salvation. Dude, I found myself 11 years ago now. I think, is that when we started to drift with? 2014, whenever that was. I'd helped a church through a transition. I'd been on staff and helped them through, got a new pastor, and I'm on staff. I'm 50 with a couple of like 30-year-olds. I'm like, God, what are you doing? You got to move me out of here or whatever. Well, one day I got called in and they're like, hey, we've had meetings. We know the direction the church is going now, and we're going to reappropriate the finances associated with you and your ministry. And I'm like, what? What does that mean? And they're like, well, give us your keys. And I'm like, okay, here. And they're like, yeah. And we'll let you know when you come back in to clean your office. And you know what? You have no more responsibilities here. I'm like, what? I was just pastoring the day before. And now I'm like, I have no responsibility. What? What is it? Wait, what? Like, yeah, we're giving you severance, three months severance. And, you know, your insurance, your paycheck, whatever. Surely you'll have a job in 3 months. And I'm like, oh, I've never been in this position before in my entire life. I'm the guy sitting in my office like Terry, where people are calling saying, hey, you want to switch jobs? Now God put me in a position where I'm going out of the parking lot saying, what is this, God? He said, it's a sabbatical. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to tell my wife. All right, awesome. You know, and you know how I've told you guys before about Philippians chapter 4, worry about nothing, pray about everything, have anxiety over nothing, pray about everything with supplication, with a thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, I make it a practice in those tough times. Say, God, why should I be grateful for this situation? I'll never forget pulling my Yukon XL out of the parking lot, and I'm there getting ready to turn onto Jensen Beach Boulevard. I said, God, why should I be thankful for this? He said, well, you remember last year when Ashley was trying to get into college and you had a job? I'm like, yes, sir. And he said, remember when you couldn't get any financial aid for her? And I'm like, yes, sir. He said, well, your son's going to get all kinds of financial aid because you're unemployed. I'm like, oh, I just laughed. Because I knew he had it all under control, Terry. I didn't know how. The last thing in the world I would have ever dreamt is that I'd be pastoring a church on the beach, even though every single day somebody was telling me that you're going to pastor a church on the beach. I said, no, I'm too old. I'm too old to do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. All this. And God said, oh, yeah, watch this. I wouldn't trade y'all for anything in the world. But this is the greatest pastorate that I've ever had a chance to be a part of, because it's so organic of you guys seeing life from God's perspective and doing it. We fight so hard to keep the money, power, and politics out of here. You know why? Because I don't care. We just focus on the Word of God and loving people and watching that happen. But the point is that, man, when I got home, you know, that day, I went out and paddled. I went out in the backcountry and paddled. I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, you're planting a church. I said, God, I'm too old. I'm like, yeah, we'll get some investors. He's like, no. You're going to do it by, you're going to be a 52-year-old beach boy doing surf lessons, paddle tours, and whatever. I'm like, what? He gave me a bag I felt was too heavy to carry. I couldn't carry it, but guess what? God brought people into my life to help me carry that bag. I was just talking to one of my buddies, Dave Hook. He's in Colorado right now. And you know what? Him and his wife sacrificially sent money to us to make it, be able so we could make it. Man, the prayers, the encouragement, the everything. So you know who got me let go at that church? Who was the one who got me let go? Was it a board of directors? Was it the deacons, the elders? Was it, well, who got me let go? God did. Why? Because he knew that I wasn't going to go on my own. So he had to take me and dropkick me. And again, I'm just saying, your situation's different, but whatever it is that's the heavy load that you have or some, you're like, well, yeah, that guy's on heroin. You know what? God can save him. God can rescue him. And maybe God wants to use you to be a part of that. The point is that God gives people giant duffel bags. Why? Giant duffel bags they can't handle. Why would God do that to somebody? Anybody, why would he do that to somebody? Because then their dependence is not on themselves, but it all has to turn on to who? On him. Man, I am so excited. I know a number of y'all are in transitions right now. I'm excited for you guys, maybe more than you're excited for yourself. Because it's a tough place to be, but what an awesome time. God is doing it to, if you don't allow pressure to get between you and God, it pushes you closer. If you allow it to get between, it goes like that. And then you freak out and go do whatever you think you should do until you mess up and then come back to God. Stick to God. He's got a plan. But God gives people giant duffel bags full of problems that they can't handle. Period. Look at the next part of this. Why does he do that? So we, who's we? The church. Believers that are in their life. Spirit-filled believers. That's what a spirit-filled believer is. Somebody who's ready to roll up their sleeves and get messy. Somebody who's going to get in the middle of it. Somebody's going to be there for you. So we, spirit-filled believers, can help them. Did you ever think about that?
that the whole reason the problem is there because God wants to get you off your sanctified rear end and do something? Because God wants you to get closer to Him and saying, begging God, God, how do I help them? God, what can I do for them? Maybe it's you being able to fast and pray, and in during that fasting and praying, God shows you what to do. Maybe they're in that situation, and part of it is because He wants to use you. And He knows that there's no other way you're going to get off your sanctified rear end and do it. So we can help them. That's why God gives it often. So they can get saved. They can get closer to God. So God can be glorified. We know all that. So we can help them and show them the love of Christ. Tony, you know what? When you see somebody dead come alive, it's exciting. So if I keep bringing up Tony, dude, that rocked my world. It's so great when you see somebody who was dead spiritually come alive. And again, I keep saying this and saying it. What did Tony see in believers that didn't know him? What did he see? He saw the love of Christ. That's what he saw. Why would these people care about me? I live in a world where we only care about each other if we have something to offer each other. That's all I have. That's the world we live in, and that's where, and sadly, many Christians are living in that world. But he saw the love of Christ, and it blew him away. And he got saved. So God is, he gives people giant duffel bags full of problems they can't handle for them, for us. But he specifically says, so we can help them and show them the love of Christ. Look at this one verse right here in Galatians 6:2. Jada, you want to go ahead and just push it? I won't push it. All right. Listen to this. Bear one another's, what's the next word? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at that. If you want to fulfill, so here's where the Judaizers were. Judaizers were like, you have to follow the law of Christ. You have to get circumcised. You have to do the dietary law. You have. And he's like, shut up. Y'all want to fulfill the law of Christ? Go get, relieve somebody of their burden. Because by the time Christ came around, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious system had made the Sabbath day, a day of rest, such a burden. You remember that verse that Jesus said? He said, man, if you're heavy laden and you're whooped and you're worn out, he said, stick your head in my yoke. My yoke's easy. Stick your head in my yoke and walk with me. Mine's easy. Because the religious system of the day was so burdensome. But you know what it takes to stick your head in Christ's yoke? Hey, what's a yoke? It's a piece of wood, right? Custom fit for two animals, right? And he said, stick your head in my yoke. That means his head's in one of the yokes, one of the sides, right? So whose head's in the other? Whose head's in the other, Carter? You got Christ's head in one, and if you stick your head in his yoke, whose head's in the other? Yours. Are you as big as God? Are you as powerful as God? So you're a little chihuahua that can't even reach the ground with your head stuck in the yoke with him, right? You can either spend your life yapping, you know, or you can dig the ride. That's what he's telling you as a believer. Relax. Just chill, man. Relax. Enjoy the fact that I have got this all under control. Nothing is surprising God. And how much does he love you again, Jenna? How much were you worth? Are you precious to him? Do you have any precious possessions other than your husband? Because scripture says you're his and his, he's yours. Well, you're stuck now. But I'm just saying. But do you have precious possessions? I'm not going to ask you what they are, but we had shells on the way home from St. Croix. We had shells that were precious that we found. Oh, I wrapped them in all my baggy pockets, and I wrapped stuff around them. They were precious, so what did I do? Did I put them out there for TSA to just trash? No, I protected them. They only went through what I wanted them to go through because I was protecting them. God is only letting you go through what he wants you to go through to make you stronger, make your faith stronger, make you tougher, for then bring him glory. So stick your head in his yoke. He's going. Are you going to change God's direction? No, you're a little chihuahua. Your feet don't even touch the ground. So what good does yapping do? Does yapping make you any more powerful? No, yapping just makes you a pain, and God's got to stop the yapping. So he'll put more in your life where you're so worn out, you just don't even want to yap anymore. All right, you ready to follow me now? You ready to follow me now? You ready to shut up and listen? You ready to listen? Because if you're yapping, you can't be hearing. I just want you to listen. And what does he promise us in Isaiah? You will have perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him.
When your mind gets off of him because you're yapping, that's when you don't have peace. That's why you're yapping. Catch 22. So shut up. Read his word. Meditate. Chew the cud. You do know that's what meditate means in the Hebrew, right? You mean a cow going out when the grass is all mushy and full of dew? Oh, man, how many of y'all like going out and eating grass when it's full of dew? It's all mushy, man. Woo! Man, you're just filling all your bellies, all your cow bellies up, right? Because you know later that grass is going to be dry and crunchy and it's going to be hard to swallow. So you get it all in while it's good. And then later in the day, man, later in the day when you get hungry, what do you do if you're a cow? You barf a little bit up and chew it up in your mouth, and it's so good. Oh my goodness, it's so good. And then you swallow it again. Then you barf it up and swallow. Meditate. That's what we do with God's word. We get up in the morning, man, when it's quiet. You're like, well, you don't have a baby. No, get up earlier. I'm just joking, but just get up. Be in God's word. Be with God before you have to be with men. So you can bring men to God and take it all in. And then later in the day when life gets scratchy and dry and hot, you can barf it up and you can chew on it. Chew on that word and find value and comfort and peace in that word. Sometimes you don't have time in the middle of the day to open that Bible up, but you can bring it back up again. So he says, here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. That word burden is a heavy word. It's not talking about a light little backpack like this. It's talking about a burden is something so heavy you can't handle. And either you've been through it, you're in one, or you know you're going to have one, and you know people that are in these burdens. So what we're supposed to do is not carry it alone. Bear one another's burden because they can't carry it. Bear it with them. Maybe it's going to take a whole church to bear it with them. You know what was such an encouragement to Tony's parents, Doug and Karen? That's what they kept saying. Well, it was so awesome. Every time we're on our praise jar, our joy bucket, they're like, man, this is an awesome church. You know why they said that? Because y'all were praying for them. You kept coming to them and praying and telling them, we're lifting you up. Is there anything we can do? So maybe it's a whole community bearing helping somebody bear a burden. And he says, that's how you fulfill the law of Christ. That's how you do what Christ wants you to do. You do that because you don't have any. What do you have to worry about, bro? Ian, what do you got to worry about? You ain't got nothing. How old are you now? Dude, you were just like 15. I don't know, I'm just messing with you. That's your mama said, you were just like that. What do you got to worry about as a 25-year-old right now? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Your brother, he's another story. No, I'm just messing with you. We'll get to him in a minute, but you got nothing to worry about. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But here's what happens. Watch this. Watch this next part. But often, because of our pride, our self-imposed load, get every bit of this, man. God was just hitting me with it. I changed this outline like, I don't know. At least I gave it to JJ this morning about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Like, JJ, new outline. I promise this is the last one. Unless the Holy Spirit gives me a different one on the way in. But often, because of our pride, our self-imposed load is more important to us than another person's God-imposed burden. So what has God told us? We have a burden. Somebody's got a burden. We're supposed to help them with the burden. Hey, when your yard got torn up by a tornado during the last hurricanes, was that a burden? Yes, it was a burden. Could you have handled it on your own? Yeah, you could have, but you'd still be working on it. But what happened? Your mom and Ben and everybody got together. They helped you with that burden to carry a load you didn't have, that you couldn't carry on your own. That it can be something like that, but often, because of our pride, our self-imposed load is more important to us than another person's God-imposed burden. So who gives us the burdens? Sabrina, who hooks people up with burdens? God does. Don't miss that point. God hooks it up because he wants to get glory out of it. So here you see somebody with a burden, and you're like, oh, you know what? I can't carry. Oh, hang on. I can't carry that. You know why? Oh, wait a minute. Oh. I can't carry it because I'm too busy. I'm too overloaded with my own load right now in life.
I'm too overloaded with my own load to help anybody else out. You ever been there? You shouldn't be. Because the load God gave you is just the right amount of load. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is what this next part says. The next part says, because of self-righteousness, because of us trying to compare ourselves to everyone else, because I can't, you know what, this is the backpack God gave me. Boy, that's just hardly even noticeable. In this world, I need a bigger backpack. I need people to notice my backpack. And if my backpack's not big enough, I need a bigger backpack. I might even need two backpacks. How many people do you know in life that their whole goal is to get a bigger backpack? Isn't that what happens? Get a bigger backpack because, you know what, it makes me more important. Oh, my backpack's so small. Oh, I'm going to get a bigger. In fact, that was the theology of the day. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in an afterlife. So they thought it was all about here and now, and I'm rich and you're poor. God loves me, God hates you. That was who was running the church in Jesus' day. Bad theology. But often, because of our pride, I need a bigger backpack. And so I have a self-imposed load. Why? Why don't I just put this down to go help my brother or sister who's got this heavy load, this burden they can't carry? Why do I not put my load down to carry theirs? Let me ask you a question. Which one is more important to me? My load or theirs? No, which one's more important to me if I won't put it down? My load or theirs? Yeah, you see, pride isn't so much a factor of, oh, I'm better than you. What pride is, get this. You don't get anything else today, get this. This is what God's rocked me with. This is what he's rocked. It's not so much I'm better than somebody, but you know what? My load's more important than their burden. What I'm doing right now is more important. That's why I'm choosing not to put it down to go help them. And my load is worth more of my love than their burden is worth. I'm not going to waste my love on that because I'm busy taking care of my load right now. And did God intend us to have this load right here? No. In fact, watch this. Watch a scripture. For if anyone thinks he is what? Something. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's what Paul's saying through God's word. If somebody thinks he's something, when he is actually nothing, he deceives himself. So what is he saying we are? Are we something or nothing? We're nothing. No, but you didn't see my backpack. Wait, do I need to get another backpack? Do I need to, I carry one here. Do you not see my backpack? I'm something. I have a job. I have this. You know how much money I make? Yeah, I make more money in a day than you're going to make in your entire little messed up life. My house is my. Do you see my backpack? I am something. And compared to me, you're nothing. But the point is, as he said, if anyone thinks he's what? Something. When he's nothing, he deceives himself. In Philippians, Paul said this. He said, treat others or esteem, value others more than you value who? Yourself. The exact same thing. So you know what Paul's been saying in Philippians, what he's saying in Galatians? Yeah, esteem. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, have this mind in you which is in Christ Jesus. Go read that whole passage in Philippians 2. You see somebody that's got a need, somebody here that's got a heavy load. Man, reassess your load. Reassess what you're doing and see if maybe God might just want you. Maybe he's trying to give you freedom. Man, Tiny, can you imagine trying to school an eighth grade boy on the basketball court like this? I'm just saying, man, can you imagine trying to live a healthy life like this? Oh, wait, we're not living healthy lives, are we? Because we're carrying around loads that we aren't supposed to be carrying around. God wants us to simplify. He wants us to lighten things. I'm not preaching this because y'all, what the announcement you made, but did not my Heavenly Father know this was going to come up the day you're here? If anyone thinks he's something, because you think you're something because you're comparing yourself to who? Other people. When in reality, how much are you worth, Ashley? What did Christ pay for you? What did he pay for me? So what's the difference in our worth? Nothing. We're worth the same. So why am I carrying around this stupid backpack? You're like, I was wondering that myself, because I'm trying to prove to everybody how important I am. My backpack's bigger than your backpack. My backpack's more valuable than your backpack. My backpack's prettier than your backpack. Whatever. We're all worth the same. And what the one who gave us our worth says we're supposed to do is that we are supposed to help somebody, whether it's a brother or whether it's a lost person. We see somebody with a burden they can't carry. That doesn't mean we do what they want us to do. Love is not giving people what they want. It's giving them what they need. And the only one who knows what somebody needs is who? It's God. So you go to God and find out how he wants you to help them carry this burden. He may want you to get a bunch of people together to help carry this burden. He wants to use your gifts to help somebody carry. But what he doesn't want you to do is walk around with your back. Because if I'm walking around here with this backpack on and it's all about me and my importance, look, I can't help them. And isn't that why we don't get involved so often? I ain't got time for that. It's not that I'm better than them. I'm more important than them. I'm more important. And loving me is worth more than loving them. That's what pride is. So if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, what does he say? You've done what? Deceived yourself. You are nothing. It is only by the grace of God that you are not there. And God gave you that gift of grace to be able to change you so that you could not go walk around and show everybody how big your backpack is, but he changed you so you could go help others with their what? With their burden. That's why he changed you. But so many of us as believers, we're falling right into the world's program of having a backpack contest. Who's got the biggest, prettiest, nicest backpack? And we don't have time to do what we've been commanded to do, which is help others with their burden. Oh, they made their bed, let them lay in it. Oh, they've messed up, let them just, you know what? If that's how God tells you to help them, then help them that way. But the fact is your dedication is not on you, it's on them. Because if we love God, he causes us to love who? Others. He said, you want to tell me you love God and you don't love others? You're mistaken again. If you love God, you're going to love others. That's who Christ was. And there'll be plenty for you. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So anybody caught up in self-righteousness, finding their value in, well, Abby's like, well, I'm the best soap maker in all of Port St. Lucie right now. Nobody makes soap like me. And I'll, you know what? You want to smell? That's pretty good. It's working out pretty good for me today. All right. But your value doesn't come from how awesome your surfware and your soap is. It comes from the fact that Christ paid it all for you. That's where your value is in life. And I get my value the same way, and Terry gets it the same way, and Russ gets it that we all get it the same way. So if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now look at this next part. But let each one test his own work. How are you going to test your own work? Oh, you know what? My calling in life, I'm supposed to be carrying this backpack, and I'm going to just work on filling this backpack, making it bigger, I'm getting patches for my backpack. How about that, JJ? JJ likes patches on his disc golf backpack. I'm putting patches on all of my backpacks so everybody knows who I am, and they know what I like, and all this stuff. And JJ likes pirates, by the way, but another thing. But man, it's all about my backpack. That's what God wants me to do. Well, test that. Test it. And what do we use to test our motivations? What do we use to test? And in my pool, I got these little strips I stick in, like, whoop, yep, there it is. What is the strip that I stick in my life that tests my works? The Word of God. The Word of God. He determines whether it's right or wrong. And if it's in the way of me helping somebody with a burden, so I can carry a self-imposed load, guess what? I got to come to reality because he says I'm deceived. Let each one of you test his own work by the Word of God. And then, once you've tested it by the Word of God, look what it says. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. He's not saying we're allowed to say, oh, well, see, I'm better than that person. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is don't compare yourself to your neighbor. That's not your worth. Selma? You better than anybody out there in Rowan? Oh, hey, what place did you come in? Like, oh, you didn't race? Oh, Jules race?
Yeah, so in out of the nation, you were like 13th or something like that. Were there people behind you? So you're better than them, huh? Woo, you're better than them, man. No, you're different than them. But we do have competition and stuff. But again, the point is we test it. And if it's keeping us from helping somebody carry that burden, just maybe through the test, God says, I want you to get this out of your life and get this out of your life and get this out of your life. Well, wait, I can't. If I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, it doesn't happen. If I resign from my job, I don't want to travel, but God, I don't. Can you identify with that, Terry? Like, God, I don't. Okay, God, so what are we doing with God? We're trusting him. We're trusting him with everything. And that's what we all do all the time in this. But let each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So you're not comparing yourself to your neighbor. Instead, you're testing yourself with God. And when you test yourself with God, what did he say you were in the previous verse? You were nothing or something? You're nothing, but he's everything. So God's everything. And you realize what a fortunate, what a blessed, what an awesome position you are in to have God be your everything. Because could you have any better? What did David say? What was that psalm, man? Remember that psalm he wrote? The Lord's my what? The Lord's my shepherd. You know that one, Ian? The Lord's my shepherd. What was the next part he said? Say, give it to us in like Louisiana or wherever you're living in the South now, man. The Lord's my shepherd, man. I don't need no other catfish hole. No, I'm just joking. It's like, seriously, man, the Lord's my shepherd. I don't need anything. He's it. He's it. And I wonder how many of us really come to that. And I pray we get in scripture in the mornings and we feel that way at least when we get up. So that when we hit the world and the world's trying to give us a value, we can regurgitate scripture back up and realize our value comes from Christ and not what the world says our value is. Amen? But let each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself, and you'll find out, I'm nothing, and Christ is my everything. Anything I have is because of him, and it's for his glory. One day, you're going to give God an account. Man, one time, long time ago, what I did here is I bought a ton of jelly beans. Any of y'all around for the jelly bean message? Probably not, man. We have trans, but I took baggies and I put jelly beans in baggies. And oh, man, some of them I put a bunch of jelly beans in. There were a few people I gave 2 black jelly beans to. And I'd give the kid next to him like a whole bag, and then I'd give this person 2 jelly beans. I gave that person a few more jelly beans. I gave everybody different jelly beans. And people, you know what? Who thought they were of the most value? The people who got the what? The most jelly beans. But then what I was preaching on was how we're going to be accountable as stewards for everything God has given us. So whatever God has given us, we're going to have to give an answer for every one of those jelly beans. And when people started looking at the whole bag of jelly beans, and they're going to have to give an account for every one of those jelly beans, and some of them already ate some of them, so that's going to be a real tough accounting. But anyways, give an account. They're looking over at their brother with the 2 black jelly beans, and they were trying to trade their whole bag of jelly beans for 2 black ones. When we realize the accountability we have, sometimes we realize we have enough. We realize how foolish it is to try to keep filling up our backpack and get more and more, especially when, and there ain't nothing wrong if God gives you a big backpack. You better use it for his glory because you're a manager. It belongs to him. So we're not comparing ourselves to others. We're waking up, we're spending time with God, and we're saying, God, what do you want me to do now? And he shows you somebody who's got a burden, saying, man, I can't do much with that. But Bob, Ann, hey, Sturgill's, man, hey, y'all got a big family. That's why God gave you all them kids. Come help, man, let's help. And let's all come together, and let's help somebody with this burden. That's something we're commanded to do. So here's the culmination of it all. Terry, it's 10:52. You have not even ever been in a service where we got out by 11. They didn't tell you we've gotten out by 11, have they? Did they tell you? All right. Well, not that I'm shooting for that, but I'm just saying there's a shot. You're like, okay, well, quit stammering and go, and you will be. Here's what God tells us to do. So there, he gives people burdens. He gives us burdens to help us grow, to
build our trust in him, to watch God's people come around us and help surround us and help us with the burden. What a beautiful thing. Man, Emily, was it not awesome? It was so awesome that everybody came and helped you guys clean your yard up, that you threw a dinner for them. Man, it was just, and the dinner was awesome. And it wouldn't have happened if a tornado didn't go through your backyard. Right? God gives burdens for everyone involved to be a part of things. But sometimes we're so busy trying to get a bigger backpack because we're comparing ourselves to the world that we don't have time. Other people's burdens aren't as important as ours, and we miss the blessing. How many of y'all did not get to eat at that dinner Emily and Skylar threw for cleaning up their backyard? You know why? Because you didn't help clean up. I'm just saying, I'm just joking. I'm serious. Like, if you're not part of it, man, you miss so many things. That's what God's designed us to do, is this. But yeah, we're over here collecting backpacks and getting bigger backpacks and trading backpacks. We're buying storage facilities to put our backpacks in. It's kind of funny on Fort Pierce connection page or whatever, people are like, hey, what's going in over at Graham and Jenkins? Storage unit. What's going in over at storage unit? What's going in? Storage unit. I think everybody from New York's bringing all their stuff from New York to store it in a unit. I mean, anyways, everybody's, we got so much junk, we're storing it. But here's what God tells us to do. Look at this. Carry the backpack that Christ has given you, and you will have the ability to help others carry the duffel bag that he's given them. You probably were wondering, why is this stupid pastor carrying a duffel bag? This is my normal everyday backpack. I don't usually, you know, carry it all over like I did today. But did you notice, did it hinder me preaching at all? No, would this one and that one carry, you know, if I'm thinking of Ashley, we just did traveling. Any of y'all like ever travel and you go get your baggage and now you got to meet the taxi and the everything, and your Ashley was like this with her kids and five baggage. Hey, Ashley, give me a hand. She couldn't. She couldn't give me a hand. She was overwhelmed. And I thought of that, not that you were doing anything wrong, but I thought of that. That's how we go through life. We can't help when God really wants us to help, because we're too busy thinking we're more important. So carry the backpack that Christ has given you. And here I am just walking through like dum-de-dum-de-dum. Oh, a burden. Hey, could you use some help with that? Is this backpack hindering me at all? No, I can help somebody carry this because I have the backpack that Christ has for me. The one he designed for me, not the one I designed for myself. Just out of curiosity, how many hours did God design in a day? 24. How many of y'all ever find yourself with not enough hours in a day? So is God messed up or are you messed up? Think about that. Look at this last one. This is what he says. For each will have to bear his own load. So here at the very beginning, we hear about a burden, right? A burden, by definition, and even in the Greek, is something too heavy to carry. It's a big load. You can't carry. But this other word is a load. He calls it a burden at the beginning, but then he says everyone will have to bear his own load. This word load is the word that they use to describe a soldier's backpack. Hence, the backpack. I ain't smart enough to come up with this stuff. I just try to communicate it. But this is it. This is it. This is what God has given you. He's given each of us a backpack. And you may think, oh man, my backpack's so little. I'm kind of embarrassed. I got to go make something of myself. I got to get a bigger backpack, get a better backpack. Sometimes people are ashamed to be who God created them to be. Man, I'll never forget, man, one time we went to Haiti for Christmas. We went to Haiti a bunch of times, and we were, and the community we established was, they love us, we love them. The only thing they had to offer us was them. The only thing we had to offer them was us. It was a relationship. And we were there for Christmas, and it was so beautiful. It was so simple. And we got home about the 23rd of December. And I'll never forget walking through the mall over here, the Treasure Coast Mall, and looking at the commercialism and wanting to puke. It made me so sick because of the simplicity I just experienced. Sometimes, man, a littler backpack's so much better. Sometimes a simpler life is so much better than making it complicated. If God is perfect and he's calling the shots, what do you want me to do now? And we do it. What do you want me to do now? And we do it. When we're doing what God wants us to do on a moment-by-moment basis, We don't get sucked into the world system of carrying giant backpacks, and we're able to help people with their burdens. For each of us will have to bear his own load. We all have a load, okay? Let me explain the difference between a load and a burden, and I'll be done here in this. Because you're thinking, well, you know what? I got this lazy, no good for nothing son that, you know what? He's in a mess, and he's like, well, you got to pray on how you're going to help them. Because here's what a load is. All right, well, let me say, so let's just say that Marley stays up all night playing video games, like till, I don't even know that he plays video games, but let's just say he stayed up all night playing video games. Oh, let's go to Skylar. Skylar's always on, I was just on vacation, he's always on his phone. So let's just say Skylar was all up all night playing video games, all right, until 3 or 4 in the morning, and he's got an important job at the business, right, the company, but let's just say he can't get up because he's been playing video games all night. And so Ben, now to help him with his burden slash load, we got to determine which one it is, you have to call him every morning. And then you say, I'm going to come over in the morning, and now I'm going to gently wake you up, and I'm going to pour coffee in your mouth, and then I'm going to put you in the truck. And is that helping him? No, it's not helping him at all. Because here's what a load is. A load is Skylar going to bed at a decent time, which, by the way, they all go to bed at 7:30 or something like that. But it's like, seriously, they're like old people, man. anyways, in that, it's like Skylar's load, our load is go to bed, get a good night's sleep, take care of yourself, wake up in the morning, and there you go. Every one of us have responsibilities we have to do. Now, if he's not taking care of his responsibility, that's on him. We can encourage him, and it may have come into being a burden. But part of fixing the burden is getting him disciplined again where he can go to bed at a right. So you see, when people are not carrying their load, when people aren't carrying their load, that's not what God's telling us to get involved with. If it's your kid, you have responsibility, yes, for that, up to a point. Right? But the point is, he's not asking us to carry their load. Everybody's got a load to carry. And when people in society feel entitled, and it's like, oh, no, you know what? Here I am. You take care of me. You do this for me. No, there's a lot of things in society they're expecting the government to carry a load for. That's not what we're talking about. You have a load you can carry. It's a difference. And you figure out what your load is, and you carry your load. You have to be a responsible human being. Christianity doesn't give you a pass on that. You know, you have dogs, you got to feed them, right? You know, there's responsibilities that go, well, nobody's feeding my dog. Hey, anybody got any dog food they want to give me? Because I don't really want to spend my money on that. I need to buy another video game. No! You got to figure out your load. That's the load that we're all supposed to carry. Burden over here is something somebody, now maybe they missed carrying their load for a long time. And now it's become a burden. So what do we do? Do we now take care of, hey, here's a whole bunch of money to keep doing, living the way you're living and doing what you're doing. No, part of carrying the load is helping or fixing the burden, helping them with the burden is helping them learn how to carry a load. Does that make sense? Load is what everybody's got a responsibility to do. In fact, check this out, all right? Help me out. I have a problem. Personally, I have a hard time when there's the guys on the street, you know, with the signs. Hey, you know, help buy me some food. Hey, help me out. Give me some change for food. I've offered many people, hey, come here. I'll take you to KFC, man. We'll go eat at the buffet together, bro. No, I'm good. You know, hey, I got a cent. No, I don't. Hey, just, I want, come on over here. I'll pay for your gas. I got Apple Pay. No, I just want some cash, whatever. And it's not all that. It's not all. There's people that do need things. I've been in that position before where I've needed people to help me out in all of this. But I always have a hard time. Anybody else have a hard time? Like, God, do I give? Do I not give? Do I give to everybody who's got a cardboard sign? Do I not give? What do I do with this? Well, what do we do as a believer with everything? We pray. In fact, one time I had paddle boards on my truck and I'm turning into Walmart and a church was there with buckets collecting. Like, what are you collecting for our church? I'm like, okay. He's like, I believe God wants you to give me one of them paddle boards. And I was like, oh yeah? And I said, you know what? Let me pray about that. Because was there a chance God wanted me to give him a paddle board? Absolutely. I prayed as I made a left turn into Walmart. I prayed the whole time I'm in Walmart. And you know what God said? I walked out and I felt peace. I said, really, God, I'm willing. If you
And I went back out, and I purposely went back the same way. And the guy said, oh, you ready? Give me a paddleboard. I said, no, man, I prayed. And God said, no. He looked at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's what God says sometimes. But I prayed. But I heard something recently. You know, in Scripture, it does say that if you don't work, you don't eat. So if somebody can hold a job and they don't want to, or they have now made that their job, you know, if I have an intimate relationship, I may help them out of that burden and try to help them. But as far as them on the street corner, and if you want to think bad of me or whatever, but I've been asking God, what do I do with these guys on the street? And God gave me that verse, if you don't work, you don't eat. And I've started asking some of them, well, do you have a job? Can you get a job? Can I? Hey, I can help you with a job. No, no, I'm good. That's their job. If that's their job, if they, again, I'm just saying how God has helped me deal with that. You may think I'm wrong or whatever, but that's helped me. What we're supposed to do is we carry our own load. We carry the load God gave us as a viable human being and do what we're supposed to do. But the problem is, in society, I think when we compare ourselves to other people and we get into this self-righteousness, we're carrying too heavy of a load. So heavy of a load that when God wants us to stop and help somebody, we can't. Because our load's more important. We've got too much more invested in our load. And it's not a load that God ever intended for us to carry. So with everything in life, I think we got to pray, whether it's the guy on the corner, whether it's the backpack you're carrying, whatever it is, we keep asking God and we say, God, what do you want me to do? But know that he started this whole thing by saying this. What he said was, bear one another's burdens. So if you never find yourself bearing someone else's burdens, chances are you're messing up on that other end. But what a reward it is when we do get to actually help somebody with a burden. Every burden I've ever been involved with in my own personal life, I am eternally grateful for all the people who have helped me in that period. Ben, man, do you remember my shower a year ago? Ben walked into my shower and there's mold all over the top of the ceiling. I'm like, yeah, I ripped drywall out. Mold just keeps growing. How long you been showering that? 10 years, man. He's like, you're just sucking in mold, man. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to die sometime, whatever. Ben's like, no, we got to. Now, dude, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, like, helping me figure out how to get all that fixed and all of that. This morning I took a shower. I was praying for you. I'm like, thank God for the burden. I don't cough nearly as much as I did. I guess that's what happens when you suck in mold. You just start coughing. I don't know. But I need people to help me with burdens, things that are too big for me. But that means that I need to be aware of other people's situations and help them. So here's the outline again, real super quick, and we're done. And it is 11:05, Terry. I did that on purpose just because I just couldn't let you get away with all that. All right. God gives people giant duffel bags. Don't miss that. Those giant duffel bags God gives people. You're like, they screwed up. They made, you know what? God still allowed that because God maybe wants to fix something bigger than the duffel bag. He maybe wants to give them salvation and they'll be your next door neighbor in heaven. But God gives people giant duffel bags full of problems they can't carry so we as believers can help them. And when we help them, we show them the love of Christ. We show them who Christ is. So carry the backpack. Oh, did I push through it? But often, because of pride, our self-imposed load is more important to us than another person's God-imposed burden, and we got to get that right. So I'm going to let JJ push the button. Carry the backpack that Christ has given you, and you will have the ability to help others carry the duffel bag that he's given them. That's where Paul leaves us after he says, here's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I want you to use it for. Love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, gentleness. Those are so you can help people carry the burden. Let's pray. Father, for those of us that are believers that know we're going to heaven when we die, not because of our own righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. Oh, Father, we want to thank you for that righteousness. You took our unrighteous life. We gave you our unrighteous life and you gave us your righteous life so that God
Because he treated you like us, he can now treat us like you, like we are perfect. Father, every one of us, we're worth way more than a Mickey Mantle baseball card, even to the highest bidder. There's nothing more precious, more valuable than the life of Christ. And that's what you gave to pay for us. Father, please don't ever let us get sucked in to the world's value system and feel bad about who we are or feel overly good about who we are because of our performance, because of our abilities, because of our skill set, because of when we compare ourselves to others. Help us not do that. Help us stay focused on you, and you promise to give us peace. And as we stay focused on you, Father, you cause us to fall more in love with you. And when we fall more in love with you, we fall more in love with people. Father, make that a reality in our lives. Thank you for showing that to us in Galatians. How to stay out of this comparison game. And Father, if there's somebody here who's never given their life to Christ, I mean really just given it to them, said like Tony, lifted their hands up and said, God, here I am. That's salvation. Father, I pray, if there's someone who's never truly done that, that today you'd give them a desire they can't refuse, to just lift up their hands and say, God, here I am. Do with me what you want to do. Wherever it is, just do it. It's yours. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.